welcome to Haunt Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast from the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we have a very, very special treat for you today.
We do.
We have of two minds today, two wonderful people joining us. We have Mike Ross, the owner, operator, Lord Extraordinaire of Sinister Sydney. A haunt in Sydney, Iowa. I guess the town makes sense. And also we're being joined by the host of that haunt, the Gravedigger Reverend Michaels, who coincidentally, not coincidentally at all, is also the host of Haunt Chat Live, which will feature us in about a week's time.
Yeah.
So, therefore, Mike and Gravedigger, are you there?
Reverend Mike. Yep. We're here in Gravedigger's right by me. Hey, how you doing? We're all ready to go here. So what you got?
Well, we have got a lot of great questions for you guys, and this is a great opportunity to talk to you both. This is going to be interesting because, we love talking to haunt owners, and of course, Mike Ross here was just, before everyone always talking about how rural it is out there. Now, Sinister Sydney is a trail haunt in that area, so fill us in a little bit about Sinister Sydney and basically how it began and where we are today with it.
I would love to. My wife and I have been haunt enthusiasts for decades. I started back in 79, her in 80, just acting in haunts and what have you. And we've kept that going through the years. And then we decided in 2015, we got a great deal on a bunch of props and things like that. We thought, well, you know what? Well, let's go beyond just decorating the porch. We've got all this property. Let's do something with it. So we set up a one night event for Halloween in 15. It was on a Saturday night and did a bunch of promotion. And we had a big one night event for Sinister Sydney. And there's a lot to go through with that, of course, because you got to get permission from the city to do it and do all that kind of thing. And so we set it up and we had a great turnout. We thought, you know what? We can really do this. So we've got 5 acres here. We dubbed, 3 acres of it for Sinister Sydney. The rest is our private area because it's where we live. and we've got orchards and stuff. We didn't want people tracking through that. So we kind of cordoned off about 3 acres of it and built a trail through there and built some major scenes that, you know, are a little bit more than facades. And it ended up being about a quarter of a mile long. And it's just beautiful, and we finally got a chance to do it. So we expanded a bit last year also and made it a little bit longer. And this year we are actually doubling the trail back, and it'll end up being about half a mile long. And so we've got more things that we're adding to it. Of course, more scenes, going to have to bring in more actors and all that kind of fun stuff. Everything that goes into doing the haunt, but we really enjoy it. And we have had people coming from as far away as the southern border of Oklahoma, like 8 or 10 hour drive up here to get here. So that couple actually ended up getting engaged while they were here too. So that was really, really cool.
Oh, aww. How nice.
Well, that's it for the show. That we can't top that. I think we pretty much hit the peak. You might as well turn it off.
did they talk? Did they ask the Reverend Michael, Gravedigger Michael, to perform the ceremony for them?
Gravedigger, go ahead and tell them about that. All right. Well, yeah, you see, they came up and the whole proposal thing was actually a surprise to us also. He hadn't told anybody about it, and they came up and they did the proposal around our fire pit. And then we did some video of announcing the proposal in our circus tent, and I offered them the chance. I said, you know, you go ahead and come back here with a legal license or what have you, because yes, I am actually an ordained minister. So I gave them the opportunity. So we'll just see where that goes. It is an awful long drive, and of course, their family and what have you might not be able to make it up. So I'm not holding my breath for the moment, but it would be really, really cool. We have
have thought about having like a mass zombie wedding here, if we can get enough interest in doing that, where we have a whole bunch, a group of people that want to get married on Halloween and have a special event here where they all come up, they make it about halfway through the haunt, we do the ceremony, and then they have to make it the rest of the way through the haunt, and if they make it out live, they'll have a happy life. So we just think that would be a really wonderful thing to do.
All right. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Sounds fun. So, Mike, how did you get started in haunting damn near 40 years ago from the sound of it?
Yeah, it was about 40 years ago. I was went with some friends to a local haunted house in Omaha. I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska. And
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm not there anymore, so it's all good. I'm a recovering Omahan. We went to a local radio station's haunted house, WW, and we went through it the first time. And at the point, I wasn't actually 16 yet, but once we got through, we kind of lied a little bit and said, hey, can we come back and help you out tomorrow night? You know, and they're like, yeah, sure, whatever. As long as you're old enough. Oh yeah, we're old enough. And from there, I just kept going. I hit the WW, the Coil, the KRCB haunted houses. I kept doing that for, as long as I was around here. I had a little stint when I lived in Kansas City, so I worked at a couple haunted houses while I was there. Then I came back here and actually was kind of out of it for a little bit because the female that I had married at that point in time was really not into haunted houses at all.
Gotcha.
So that was, I was stifled for a few years, although I still managed to put some skulls and things around the house. And, but then I met back up with my lovely wife and, Lori, and we had actually gone to junior high together, and it was a match made in heaven. We were two parts. She says we're the same person, but she has boobs.
So. Well, you know, that's a good way to look at it.
That is. We have quite the like mind when it comes to the Halloween stuff. And so it's just wonderful having the support of another Halloween enthusiast to help me in all this. I mean, she's a wonderful trooper. We went out yesterday and gathered 200 feet of old cedar fence, hauled that in our horse trailer. And she's just the trooper. She doesn't have a great back, but she still helped me load everything. And when we got back, I had to have a couple friends help me unload it, but yeah. That's okay. So,
well, yeah. You were back and you had friends, so.
That's right. Yeah, there you go. There you go. I woke up on this side of the grass. It's a good day.
Well, exactly. Don't have Crystal help with the cedar fencing. That would be a very bad idea.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Allergies.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
No, she will do the work, believe me.
Yeah.
But if it's anything cedar or cedar adjacent, no, just don't do it.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Bummer.
Yeah.
But, okay, so.
Congrats on the find.
Yeah,
that's a good looked. Find. I saw the pictures of it. That looks like really good fence wood for a haunt. Yeah,
we're actually going to pick up another 60 feet. I'll recommend this for any home haunters, pro haunters, whatever. Hook up with a fencing guy because they are constantly replacing people's fencing. And they have to haul off the old stuff. And they are more than happy to not have to haul off the old stuff. So find your local fencing guy and talk to him.
That is a great tip.
That is actually maybe the best tip on this podcast so far. So now we've reached the peak. Now you can switch it off. Okay.
No, please don't.
No, but so yeah, that is a great piece of advice. People don't think about the, hooking up with a fencer. They might working with like generic construction and so forth.
Right.
But and you do get a lot of great lumber that way, scrap lumber and so forth, including plywood. Mm-hmm. But yeah, fencing is super useful, even in a indoor haunt.
I'll tell you another one that's super useful: tarps. Mm-hmm. Good tarps. Mm-hmm. If you have now, we're a rural community, and we have a local grain co-op that stores everybody's grain over the wintertime, what have you. And if you've ever seen one of these and driven by in the wintertime, they have these gigantic white tarps laid spread over the grain to keep it. I find myself, I'm using my hands a lot like we're on video. It's kind of interesting. But they have these giant tarps spread out over the grain. Now,
They're white on top and they're black on the bottom, and they're extra heavy industrial. They're the kind you can't buy them in the stores. They're only available to agricultural companies and what have you. But at least that we found, they're one use. They spread them over the grain and then they nail them down. So when they're done with it and they're uncovering, they cut them off around the edge and then they throw them out.
Huh.
So if you've got one of these nearby you, and we did this, we hooked up with them. And when they start uncovering, we go down there and we put, because they've got to pay to have it hauled away in the dumpster and what have you.
Right.
So we go down there and it's usually, of course, a very windy day. And three of us try and roll up 100 or 200 feet of heavy industrial tarp. Have you ever seen windsurfers?
Yeah.
Okay. It's the same type of deal. You try and hold that down when the wind hits up. Yeah. And it's quite the funny scene. I do have some videos of us doing that out on the Sinister Sydney YouTube page, YouTube channel. So that's always a fun thing. But that's another one. Free tarp. It's thousands of dollars worth of tarp if you can get hooked up with them for free.
Huh. Very, very good idea.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I mean, I don't think we have a local grain co-op where we're at in New Orleans.
Right.
But yeah, if you do live near one, that's a great suggestion.
Yeah.
I bet that's a really good advice for a lot of those farm haunts, especially.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Maybe you should pitch that one to Farm Haunts of America as an idea.
I've actually told Ben all about it. So.
Okay. Yeah. Now, boo. Just do it. No fun. All right. So... What? Tell me more about Sinister Sydney and the type of haunt it is. I'm very curious because obviously it's a trail haunt, but what audience are you trying to reach, and how are you doing it?
Well, the audience has been very widespread. We have a recommendation that nobody under 12, because we're not a cutesy haunt. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We don't do a lot with pumpkins, and we are a low light haunt. It is outside. We figure, you know, that's creepy enough as is, but then if you light everything really bright and beautiful, and I love these ones, they look wonderful, but we keep ours at a much lower light. It's pretty much, you go to one scene and you have to look for where the next light is to tell even where to go to follow the trail. So there's a lot of dark space in there. Of course, we have actors to guide you so you don't end up poking your eye out from some branch that's poking the wrong way or something.
Right.
But there's currently, I believe last count, there's 31 scenes or areas in there with other scares in between. Like I said, we are expanding to the half mile, so that'll be adding, you know, 8 or 9 more definitely. We're adding a couple large attraction parts in the scenes this year. We did last year, we built a circus tent, a 20-foot tall circus tent, that ended up, it's going to be a permanent thing because, well, we had to find a 30-foot telephone pole to be the centerpiece, and we cemented it into the ground, so it's not going anywhere. So we've got a bit, and again, we have a video of us doing all that, trying to tarp it on the Sinister Sydney YouTube channel.
Yeah, and we'll definitely put that into the show notes for people to be able to access.
And it's also a link, you can also find it at the top of the Sinister Sydney website at, correct, predictably enough, sinistersydney.com.
That is correct.
If you couldn't figure that part out on your own, I can't help you.
And you asked how we get the people in. We have the age suggestion of nobody under 12. We have had people bring it in, and we do that for a good reason, because anybody who's brought 10 and 8-year-olds, oh yeah, they're fine with it. They love horror movies. They're screaming and crying by the second scene, and then the actors have to call back off a bit, and that just ruins it for everybody else in the group.
Yeah.
But for the upper limit, I mean, we've had 70-year-olds come through here, mm-hmm, and love it. So we don't really have, you know, the normal haunt crowd is usually what, mid-20s into the 30s, early 40s. But we like to be inclusive and just span it out across all boards, so, or all age limits.
So I do a lot of YouTube advertising. I don't do a lot of paid Facebook. There we go. I don't do a lot of the paid boosts. And when I do like, you know, $5 or $20.
Yeah.
I try and, try and set up the range so that it's inclusive mainly just to the, I don't just do a global blanket US because the average person, average person's not going to come from New York or California to go to.
That's only for freaks like us.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. But I give it about, I think I gave it a 100-mile range when I started doing it and ended up having people come in from 300 miles away. So I did expand it out to about 300. But if you select your towns and areas carefully, you can not spend a lot of money if you are going to do their promotion or promoting of the, of your posts. You can do it fairly inexpensive and it seemed to have worked well for us. Other than that, from around here, we do parades, we do fairs, we do, events that are around and, you know, to get the local, I've gone as far as Omaha for Haunticon. Well, I didn't, I set it up. Gravedigger went out there to the Haunticon in Omaha to do a little advertising for. I've got my hand in, I've got many hats on because we have the Haunt. We have Haunt Chat Live. We also have the Southwest Iowa Trail of Terrors, which is a cooperation between a few haunts down here. All of the haunts in Southwest Iowa to help promote each other.
Oh, very cool. That's
yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
We put up theirs. We do specials. If you come into our haunt with somebody else's wristband, you get a discount, that kind of a thing, you know? So we
yeah.
get That's everybody else. To
market. We're I wish all the time.
Yeah. We've been saying, how many times have we said on this podcast, people should do that. Yes. No, see, absolutely.
Yeah, no, there's no hate here. We, you know, there's plenty, there's 31 days in the month. There's, you know, at least 3 or 4 weekends. We are only open on Friday and Saturday nights. So it's in October. So it's however many of those there are in the month of October. Year before last, we were open 10 nights because there were 5 weekends. This last year, because of weather and stuff, we are an outdoor haunt. Because of weather, we were only able to be open 6 nights, which kind of sucked, but, you know, for the safety of the patrons and the actors, we put down, oh, I don't know, 30, 60 bags of mulch and on the trail and what have you. But still, there were times that it rained right up and into the hours that we would be open. So we just had to say, sorry, folks, come back next week.
Yeah,
okay. That sucks.
That is one of the problems that outdoor haunts face.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, opening in a small town, what were some of the challenges you faced that were particular to it? Did you get any pushback from the community? Advertising challenges? You talked a little bit about those.
Yeah. Well, we really didn't get any pushback from the community. Now, this is small Bible Belt town, so there are, you know, there's only 1,100 people, and there's 4 churches in the town. Everything from the fundamentalist Christians up to the Methodists and Presbyterians, what have you. We didn't get any pushback per se, but we did definitely get some raised eyebrows. One of the first things that I put up was a satanic altar scene. Okay. With a 20-foot hardwood cross and a goat head on the top of that. And when I say goat head, I mean a goat head. It was donated by a local butcher. It wasn't even our idea. They said, hey, do you want this? We said, sure. Far be it from us to turn down free stuff.
Exactly.
Goat head. I'd love a free goat head.
The thing about it is that it's actually viewable from the highway when the trees don't have the leaves on them. Oh, the highway that goes off in front of us. So that did raise a few, and it actually got some of the fundamentalists talking about Reverend Michael, him being a satanic minister and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, whatever. We laugh those things off. Otherwise, our city was really good. Sydney is known as the Rodeo Town USA. They have the longest running outdoor rodeo in the country. It's been going out. It's been going like 89 years, something like that, every year. But it is their only claim to fame and pretty much their only tourist attraction in this town.
So they were more than happy to have something that would draw people in, something else that would draw people in from out of town. I have a couple friends that are on the city council, friends, acquaintances, whatever. And they, we went, we talked to the city council. We told them our idea. We had to talk to the planning council because we had to get a special business, special use business license to allow us to, because we are in a residential area. We have a large area, the 5 acres, but it is within the city limits and zoned as residential. So I went ahead and formed an LLC so that we had a legit business. That was a piece of cake to do.
Yeah.
And went to these guys, got their approval, told them our plans, found parking, all that kind of stuff. So there was a lot of setup, but I wanted to make sure that I did it right so that we did not have the complaints and things coming in. And if we did, they're like, you know, when you get the special use business, you have to have the permission or the okay from any other residents that are within 2 blocks of you. And so luckily I'm friends with most of them, and being as we're 5 acres, 2 blocks included, about 6 houses. So we got all of their okays, and everything seemed to go well, and they have renewed us for the last 2 years. So I think we're doing pretty well. They like having it. And we've had several of the board members come through the haunt too. And some of them even share our posts and stuff. So it's really wonderful, the support that we have had. Funny story, I mentioned that we do, I said do. we do the parades. We do the local, the rodeo parade, because when they have the rodeo, they have a big parade on Saturday. And you know, the high school takes part in it. So you got the different classes and all the businesses are in it. And last year, we ended up being the final group in the parade, which was really cool. We got to close down the parade with all the monsters and what have you coming through. But one of our characters, or we own horses also, and my daughter dresses up as an Indian warrior and rides on one of our horses who is painted up with the war paint and what have you. And it occurred, we actually got some television time out of that because there were a couple news channels here filming it and all that. And it occurred to us that the Sydney Rodeo, who are, they're known as the Cowboys, their parade was actually closed by an Indian warrior with heads hanging off of her horse. And this year, when we set up for the parade, we noticed that our positioning was different. We do not get to close the parade this year. I think they kind of noticed that too. And went, maybe that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we enjoy doing it, and we do tone down for the parades.
Obviously,
yeah. A lot more kid friendly. We're tossing out candy and what have you.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you see the same thing here in New Orleans. Like when the House of Shock would do parades and so forth, they would.
And Mortuary.
Mortuary does parades too. They would. A little more kid friendly.
Right. And we don't have a lot of gore. We don't have a lot of gore in our haunt itself anyway. But, you know, you want to be friendly to the kids because you're giving them candy and all that kind of stuff. And you want to entice the parents to come. And if you piss the little kids off, the parents probably aren't going to show up.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay. So you said you had 31 scenes-ish and that you're expanding. How many actors do you have, and how do you plan on filling those extra scenes?
We have been really lucky this last couple of years. We've had at least 40 actors each night that we've worked. Now, I've figured it out, and in a crunch, we could actually get by with as little as 15 or 16 in a crunch. I never want to have to do that, but
right.
Every haunt has done that exact calculation.
Your actors don't want to do that either.
Right. Cause then you got to run from scene to scene. Yeah. And we built this 20 by 28 foot maze year before last that has, it's not really a maze. It's just skinny hallways and what have you. And we are outdoor, but there were some things you just can't do without walls. So we built this and we went through it, and I laid it out so that one actor could get 6 scares out of it as long as it was only a single group coming through at a time. However, it is more meant for 6 actors to be in.
But you have to do those calculations. You have to figure it out because most of our actors are high school kids. That's where we get the majority of our help from is the local high school and the surrounding high schools. And they have things like pep band and football that all happen on Friday nights.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, there's a lot of times that we have to cover a position, but, you know, we tell them, well, you know, actually we didn't tell them. It was really funny that first year that we'd have somebody go, oh, I'm really, really sorry. I've got this youth group thing going, or I've got this football game going, but I found somebody to take my place. So, you know, they go out, they'd find people to cover it anyway. We do kind of auditions, but I place people accordingly to their, you know, to their skills, to their talents going on. And that has seemed to work pretty well. We are very against bullying, so we have a big anti-bullying, especially in the haunt and with the actor. So everybody gets along, because if they don't, I smack them in the back of the head. Yeah. I'm old. I can get away with
it. Do you participate with Don't Be a Monster?
Well, absolutely. We are a sponsor of Don't Be a Monster. In fact, we just ordered a bunch of their bands. We put their banner out front. We try and promote them as much as we possibly can. We love what Aaron and those guys are doing with that setup.
Yeah,
very cool. Had legal obligation to ask. You mentioned bullying and haunting.
Yeah.
If I didn't ask, I probably would have been immediately descended upon by vultures. So, you know, I could talk forever with you about haunting and the haunt, but I got a few questions for the gravedigger real fast.
Sure.
Reverend.
Yo, GD, get in here.
All right, I'm on my way. Hold on.
Yeah, what can I do for you? Sorry, okay. I stepped away for a little bit.
We were talking to Mike. I wanted to learn more about your function at this haunt, though. What do you do?
Oh, hell, I run the place. he may disagree with that, but yeah.
I have to say, he's going to take an issue with that. I can
tell.
Yeah,
well, you know, but once he's done building it and putting all that stuff together, he kind of turns it over to me. So I have a good time. I'm there at the front. I follow people through sometimes. I welcome people. I say goodbye to people. Heaven forbid there's any problems going on. I kick some ass and I scoot them out. You know, I have a good time with it. You know, besides that, our little cemetery build up here, well, it wouldn't be there if it weren't for me, because you got to bury some bodies if you're going to have a cemetery. Am I right?
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. So what is your favorite part about what you do?
My favorite part, scaring the crap out of people. Of course it is. No, you know, I'll be honest. The kids that work for us, it's fun being there for them and watching them grow, you know, and when it's funny because we'll get somebody in here that's a real mouse, you know, and you know those people, and getting them in here and allowing them to blossom. They just love when, like, the football team comes in and they get to jump up behind them, scare the crap out of the quarterback, you know, or especially the tackle. Watch the tackle jump into the arms of the quarterback. Oh, they just go nuts over that stuff. And we actually had one young lady in here that was definitely the mousy type. And I'll tell you what, by the end of the season, she was like, oh, my God, did you see what I did? Did you see the scares that I had a code yellow? And I'm just having the bestest time in the world, you know. And so that really is my favorite part of it. But, you know, going back to it, I just got to tell you, digging holes is what I do. And so, you know, digging up them holes and burying those things. And a fun little bit of trivia, our cemetery actually is a cemetery. So, you know, it's the real thing. There are bodies buried in there. We're not going to talk much more about that, but just so that you know, I like to tell, my daughter's boyfriends, just remember, I got 5 acres and a backhoe and plenty of lime, so you better treat her right. I buried him before. I can bury him again. I may be old, but that back's still holding out. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. What else you got?
Oh, God. So many good questions for you. So how did you get started in your involvement with this haunt?
Okay, my involvement with this haunt. Well, I'll tell you, I spent a little bit. I had some traumatic experiences early on in my seminary and what have you. And so I lost my way for a little bit. I got to, I lost my way for a little bit, and I did me some wandering. But then I came across Sinister City, and the place that I had come from was another nice little town, and I came into here, and I ran across Mistress Lori, the love of my life, let me tell you, and the group of people that she was fostering here. She, over the few years, had brought in many of the outcasts and those people that are just a little off and were thrown out by the rest of the community. And she had set up this little haven for these people to come in, and a place where they could be themselves and they could stay. And I met this woman, and she had done such wonderful things with it, and it brought me back. I got to tell you, it brought me back to God, just seeing what was going on with everything here. And they welcomed me in, because at that point, like I said, I had lost my way, so I was kind of on the fringe myself. And she brought me in here, and they welcomed me in here, and I have kind of become the father, more the grandpa, you know, to a lot of them. And they're just such wonderful people in here, we let them be who they are, and that really works out for the haunt. Because I gotta tell you, there's a lot of freaks living here, but I say that in a loving way, you know, a loving way. They are definitely they have their quirks, let's just say. But luckily, I dig real deep holes, so we're all good with that.
And they all know it. They all
know it. It's in the name.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
So if I make a trip to Sinister Sydney sometime in the not too distant future, how would I expect to see you? Where would I find you?
You will find me everywhere. We have this set up that it's kind of cool. I am able to pop out in front of you at least 7 different places along the trail. So without you seeing, you know, I got these little teleportation pads set up, you know, so when you come in, I'm going to greet you. And when you enter the haunt, I may be right there in front of you. And then you'll go through another scene or another scene, and I may be behind you, or I may be in front of you, or I may be right beside you, whispering pretty things in your ear. The girlies really like that. You know, I got this favorite song. Hey, can I sing in my song? Is that okay?
Go for it.
Okay. This is my favorite. Now, granted, the original words and music are by somebody else, because, well, I'm not really all that smart. You know, there's not a lot going on up in here. But I have fun with this. So I'm pretty sure you'll recognize it. So let's just give it a shot here. Okay, here we go. Imagine me and you. I do. I think about you while you sleep. Without a peep, you'll fit fine in that hole I dug so very deep. We'll be happy together. If I should dig you up after some time and dress you in some pretty things, you'll look so fine. Then we'll just sit and chill a bit, because your mind will be happy together. Now there's more to it, but I don't want to spoil it. Oh,
that was great.
Yeah, leave something to the imagination.
There you go.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So you got all these magical powers. You got all these super abilities. What drew you to Sinister Sydney? You said it was where you found your way again. What was it about Sinister Sydney that brought you back?
Well, I gotta tell you, it was Mistress Lori, the co-owner of Sinister Sydney. Just the wonderful, wonderful lady that she is. Now, she has some secrets of her own, which the community around here, the people that live here at Sinister Sydney, they help her out with, and they keep that secret too. But I'll tell you, when I just snuggled up against those, that, we'll keep it clean. But if you've ever seen my wonderful Mistress Lori, you'll know just what I mean. That woman, oh my goodness, she can rock my world. Yes, she can. But you know, it's a beautiful place. It really is. You get out here at nighttime with those stars shining and them coyotes yapping and whatever other interesting sounds that you might hear, and it's just music to my ears. I just love it here. That's right.
All right. Well, in addition to your work with Sinister Sydney, you do another project, do you not?
I do. I'm glad that you brought it up. Hold on a minute. My throat's getting a little hoarse. I gotta... okay, that's better. Ooh, that's smooth. But anyway, yes, we have a show called Haunt Chat Live. Now, you spoke to Mike earlier, and he's the producer. He's the one who sets everything up, and yes, guests, and all that coming on. In fact, I believe he booked you guys for this next show for our season finale. Is that not correct?
That is factually accurate. Yes, sir.
That is awesome, and I am really looking forward to seeing you guys actually face to face, you know, because this is a video show coming on. But I get to host the damn thing, and I'll tell you, it's a blast. It really is, because I get to see these people, and I got to ask them all kinds of stupid questions, and I get to ask them some smart questions, because those are the ones that Mike writes, you know. I ain't got much going on up here. I think I mentioned that before. But I get to meet all these people, and it's a great time. And you know, along with the Haunt Chat Live, now this is a monthly show that we do. We call it a talk show. It has got us out on the IMDb. If you don't know what that is, the Internet Movie Database. We are listed out there, Haunt Chat Live. Look it up or Google it. You'll find it. It's really simple. it really is. We get to do that, and I get to meet these people, and it's only a half hour show, just half 30 minutes is all. We try to keep it right there, 30 minutes, but it's on the very first Saturday of every month at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. No, excuse me, Central Time, because it may be Central Standard, it may be Central Daylight, whatever, you know, but it's at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. And it's shown on, we do it through YouTube. It's a YouTube channel, so the show does get archived. If you're like lame and don't show up to watch it live, then you can go out there and watch it after the fact. You know, I don't recommend that, because, and here's why, it's big because we have just started. We're actually doing prize giveaways, and I'll tell you how that works. We'll go through the show, and then we'll ask a question relating to the show, and then you have to email us your answer to that. And the first emails that I get, that's the easiest way to like keep it all straight, because if you do like the Facebook questions, first one to do that, you get all these of just now, and you don't know who was first. So email us your answers to the questions. And the first ones that we get, well, then those are the winners. But so if you watch it live, then you get to be the first one to send those answers in. See, it all works out right. So be there live, 8 p.m. Central Time. It's for Saturday each month. It is on YouTube, but I do post it also on Facebook. I put it out there. I put the link and get it out there in several different groups besides the Haunt Chat Live group or page. Excuse me. We also put it on the Grave Day. I have my own Facebook page. How's that? So make sure you go out and like that too. But we posted there. We posted, of course, on Haunters Hangout, Extreme Halloween. There's several groups out there that we posted to, so that you can get that quick link. But you know, the easiest way, so you ain't got to even bother with any of that, is just to go to the YouTube channel, and it is Haunt Chat Live out of YouTube.com. Haunt Chat Live, and you hit that subscribe button, that little blue button. Subscribe, and you turn on notifications, and it will tell you when we're live. And I even post Mike posts the event out there so that you know that it's coming up, and it can remind you. See, there's absolutely no reason not to see it live. That's right.
All right. Huh? Well, the next question can either be answered by you or Mike.
Right.
Because, as you said, you both are involved. But since Mike is the producer and you are the host, what made you want to do something like Haunt Chat Live?
You want to hit this one, Mike? Because you pulled me. Yeah, okay, I'll take it. That's fine. So Haunt Chat Live, we have a group called Haunt Chat out on Facebook that is not really haunt
necessarily haunt related. We have a lot of haunters that come in, and sometimes we talk about haunt stuff, and sometimes we just BS back and forth. That's fun. Yeah. We do it on Wednesday and Saturday nights. And there was one time that one of our regulars, Mr. Randall, was going to be, I don't remember if it was a Scream Fest or Scare Fest, or he was at some event like that. And I wanted to, when he came in, I wanted to broadcast it live so that everybody could see what was going on. And the resounding response I got to that suggestion was, what goes on in Haunt Chat stays in Haunt Chat. So they kind of shot me down real quick. No, we don't want to be live. We don't want to be broadcasting to everybody when we're talking. Because, we're adults. It can tend to get a little blue once in a while.
Right.
So we talk real, you know. So what I decided, I like, okay, fine. You know, whatever, guys. That's just fine. But I'd already set up all the stuff. And I went to bed that night and I thought, you know, there are a lot of talk shows out there already. There are a lot of podcasts. There are a lot of video casts. One of the ones that really opened it up for me was Haunters Hangout. I love that show. You know, Diablo and Jamie and all those guys do a great job. And now Phil is on there. Yay. As a regular. So I thought, okay, so I don't want to replicate what everybody else is doing. But you know what? I don't think I know who, or anybody else for that matter, knows all the things that are out there. And I can't think of any other show that has been a show of shows. So I thought, you know what? Let's gather these, find out what all podcasts and what all video shows and what blogs and stuff are out there on it. And let's interview them because, you know, and I'm sure you guys know you do this podcast on a regular weekly thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But there's no video. You do specific to the topic that you're talking about. So I thought it would be nice to bring these people in that maybe people have been listening to for a long time, allow them to see it, allow them to have a little bit of real talk going on with it, and allow them to see their faces, see who's talking to them, right? And to learn about the show, allow you guys to talk about what goes into making the show so that other people can learn about that. And then by the time you're done, now we're coming up, this will be the season finale, 12 shows, you can go back through those and learn about the ones you didn't even know existed. You know what I mean? You know, if you didn't know Bat Chat, now that I just did those ladies out of California, they're a podcast, I don't want to say older ladies, but well, let's get real. You know, they're wonderful. And they do a talk show on not necessarily just about haunts, but the horror industry. And they are in the movie industry also. So that was really fun to talk to them. But a lot of people knew nothing about it. So now they can go out here, they can watch the shows, and they can learn about other ways to waste their time.
Right. Yeah, I watched that one. I actually also saw one. You had some guests on from Australia, or I should say the Reverend Michael did. But
That was from the UK, actually.
From the UK.
From the UK. I did.
All accents sound the same.
No.
Yeah, I know. Right.
No, I remembered wrong. That happens.
Crystal just admitted she's wrong. Hang on, we're recording this.
We'll mark it down. Oh yeah, you're recording. We're good.
Oh good.
I had Scare Track on, and then and it was just my last show too. I get so confused sometimes. There are only two podcasts in the UK that are horror attraction related, and so I've had both come on.
Yeah, and that's interesting because we're always looking for, you know, international media that revolves around the haunt industry because I don't want to say it's not as big because it's definitely taken off more.
It's definitely an American thing though, or has been in the past. It is an American industry.
Well, you know. I disagree with that slightly because I think that the type of attraction and thinking of it as a haunted attraction is an American thing. But you go abroad, they have all these different attractions, like the caves in Budapest we went to, Monet Castle's dungeon area. Right. And they just don't think of it in this context.
Right. And England itself has got so many of the dungeons and the wax museums and things like that.
They literally have a chain of attractions called the dungeon.
Yeah. But those are, or had been, more kind of display type things. They weren't ones necessarily that you go to, and I'm sure there's always the exception to the rule. There have been ones out there and around, but as a whole, the whole haunted attraction, the Scream Park, that type of a deal going on, really built up to infamy in the States, and now luckily is spreading out to Australia and to the UK and to China. And to, you know, oh boy, they have a completely different vision of it over there. Let me tell you.
And China and Japan both. Very unique.
Have you seen Dan Baker Dan's Haunted House? They are awesome. They are completely based as like the China or the Japanese culture.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, we have met them, I believe, at a conference. But we have not been able to go to their haunt.
Check out their stuff. They are really, really cool. Well, and it's a completely different way to look at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, and we're hearing about haunts opening up like Qatar.
Yeah.
These days, that just blows my mind, the idea in Dubai.
Yeah.
Right.
That haunt opening up in Dubai, it's like, wow, Dubai. I never would have thought of that even just 5 years ago.
That one was inside of a mall, right?
Yeah, it was inside of a mall. The top floor of a mall. It's crazy, and we don't think about this, but yeah, this is becoming one of America's big exports.
Yes, absolutely. And I believe this last year it was like a $8 or $9 billion industry. Mm-hmm. And they expect it, of course, to keep growing because we're on the upswing right now. Soon to surpass. There we go. That's the word, surpass. Soon to surpass Christmas, they're saying.
I would doubt that highly in this country.
They're actually saying that it because not in the buying of presents.
In
the industry, in the displays and things like that.
I got it.
To surpass it.
Okay. Well, I could see that.
It's possible. It's definitely in the realm of possibility.
Yep.
I don't think in terms of economic impact that we're ever going to compete with Christmas.
Right. Yeah.
Sweet God.
You never know.
Our props are really expensive. You know, we can sell them up.
Well, what we need to do is make gift giving a tradition at Halloween.
Well, don't we hand out candy?
Yeah, we do, but we need to make like the Great Pumpkin happen.
There you go.
We need to go bigger, because
bigger and better.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's really, really interesting, and that you're able to get that international presence, and I really like that about what you're doing. If I were new to Haunt Chat Live, would you just recommend I start from episode one and rock my and marathon my way through, or?
I would recommend first you go out. Well, I do have playlists out there, so they're all lined up. You just hit the playlist and it'll take you through them. I believe it takes you through them backwards, but you can go through that, look at those. The very first one, of course, was with Philip Hernandez, Haunted Attractions Network, and that was a fun one to do. Each one is slightly different, and I got to tell you, not all of them are the best. we had a couple that didn't come off just too correctly, just because of technical difficulties and what have you.
Right.
But they were still laughable anyway. So, and that's, you know, we're here to entertain. I'm a promoter of promoters per se, to help promote each time that we have a show, it's to help promote the other show. Right. But it's all entertainment. We are here to entertain. So if you can't laugh at yourself, then you ain't going to laugh at nothing else. Right.
That is very true.
Very true.
That's very true. Well, we've got a few more minutes. Is there anything that you want to plug or anything else you want to promote while you're here? Because now's your chance.
Now's the time. Okay, as a matter of fact, there is. I mentioned earlier that we've got, besides Sinister Sydney and Haunt Chat Live, we also have the Southwest Iowa Trail of Terrors, which is a cooperation of haunts, and that's facebook.com/trailofterrors. Of course, that's a play on the whole Trail of Tears thing going there.
Right.
So you can check that out. We just started up the Heartland Haunters Association. You know, there's ones in the East Coast, West Coast, up north, down south. But I didn't feel there was anything really to group the center of the country. You know, the Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, North Dakota, South Dakota, all the, there was a little lacking there. So we formed the Heartland Haunters Association. Hopefully we'll see some good things out of that. And that, although it's based out of the Sydney, Omaha area, we're encouraging people to do their own make and takes and just have the association as a central point to find out who else is in your area and to do some make and takes, some meet and greets, things like that. We actually did a meet and greet during the Christmas. We Haunt Chat Live did a special Christmas special. There we go. And so we have the Heartland Haunters going on. You can look that up on Facebook also. It's just a Facebook group. We're not really picky of who joins it. You don't necessarily have to be in the Heartland because, well, I'm a member of the Northwest Haunters Association, although I am far from it for the moment.
Yeah, I've learned that haunters aren't particularly good at geography.
No, we're not. We're really not.
We're not really good at that subject.
So we've got that going on. I did mention that we're listed on the Internet Movie Database. So that's really cool. That was fun to get onto that. Let's see. I've got so many irons in the fire. What else do we got? I said Heartland. I said the Sydney Hunt Chat, Southwest Iowa Trail of Terrors. I'm sure there's one or two more things that I got my fingers in. I think those would be good. Just look them all up. Subscribe to Haunt Chat Live. If you wish to see the backside of Sinister Sydney, and I don't mean the reverence, but I mean, you know, what goes on behind the scenes. Sinister Sydney does also have a YouTube channel that we do filming during build and acquisition of stuff and just some fun things going out there. So subscribe to that too.
Even if it's a weird point to end on, I did want to say I really like that about you guys. Too few haunts sort of share publicly what goes into making a haunt. And I think that has led some visitors to not really understand or appreciate the hard work that goes into the craft. So thank you for, you know, throwing back the curtain, so to speak.
Oh, we have fun with it. And I'll be honest, the YouTube channel is not necessarily for our clientele, the goers, you know, the people who aren't ready, they just go to haunted houses because it really could maybe spoil a little bit of it. But I try when we're doing those videos not to give too much away. So you still have to come to see it in its own lighting and with the actors, things like that. It's just the fun of building it and trying to throw a 50-foot tarp over a 20-foot pole. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is fun enough, actually.
Yes, absolutely.
It sounds like a challenge.
It's a challenge.
Like, it's kind of like a maypole, but in reverse.
There you go. There you go.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mike. Thank you very much to the Reverend Michael. Very glad to have both of you on this show.
Oh, it's been a blast. It's been a blast. I love being here. I just can't wait to talk to you guys coming up on the show. And that show is April 7th. That would be a Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central Time. So make sure all of you guys out there and all of you you podcast listeners, make sure you tune in and see the actual faces of Jonathan and Crystal. That's just going to be a blast.
It'll be the scariest thing you've ever seen, I can guarantee.
Oh, I'm sure you guys will do just fine. Well, I wouldn't have booked you if I didn't think you'd do good. So,
all right. Well, thank you very much to both of you. It has been a true joy having you.
Yes.
Until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this has been Haunt Weekly episode number 122 as we sit down with Mike Ross and the Gravedigger, Reverend Michael. We will see you guys next week, and we will see the Gravedigger a week and Saturday. It'll be Saturday the 7th.
Yes.
Saturday the 7th, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. You got to get that in there.
the Central Time. We will see you then on Haunt Chat Live. That's hauntchatlive.com. I'll take you to the Facebook page. You can follow it all there. Until then, we'll see you guys next time.